Well, we've covered some subjects. We're looking at heaven, and we've covered a number of subjects. I have several more, probably another six or seven more to go before we finish. We'll try to cover a couple of them this morning. We've looked at what will we do in heaven, and we saw we will be busy in heaven. We have lots of things to do, fellowshipping and so on. We saw that we will be working in heaven. We'll be conducting ourselves as judges. We'll judge the angels, and we'll judge the people in the millennial kingdom. We will know our family and friends in heaven. That certainly is a given. Yes, Dan? Right. Oh, that's right. I think I mentioned that to you. If you want to talk with Paul, you'll be able to talk with Paul. You'll recognize him immediately. I don't think there's going to be any problem recognizing people. In this life, I have a problem. And that problem is remembering names. You know what I mean? We were in Costco's last week, Linda and I, and some lady said, are you... How did she say that? She said, did you used to teach at LBC? And I said, yes. I had no idea in the world. She told me her name, and I still didn't know who she was. I do not remember her. The face is not familiar. I have a terrible time with names. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I forget your names. What's her name? What's her name? And I'll try to remember the husband's name. When I can put the husband's name on, then I get the other name. You know what? Do you ever do that? I have a terrible time remembering names. I don't know why. People say that what you have to do is to remember someone's name is to put something familiar in your life. You know, like if it's you know, you meet someone and say, well, they look like a pear. You know, I don't mean that. But you remember that person by some object. You know what I mean? I've never been able to do that. I try to remember names, but they go so quickly. I just don't remember them. But anyway, I think we will be able to recognize people, and that's why it's going to take an eternity, because there's all the believers that are there. Yes. I don't think so. What's that? We may have a special name given to us as a reminder, but I think you'll remember me as John, and I'll remember you as Susie. Moses and Elijah were recognized by their names. So as far as I know, I don't know that there will be a brand new name given to us. We may have, there were names given to some of the prophets because of their ministry and so on, but yes. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what Al said. Yeah. I don't think it's an individual name. I think we'll be recognized by our names. Personally, I think so. But anyway, we will spend eternity getting to know people and fellowshipping with one another. And I said it's all going to be around God's grace. I think we'll fellowship. We'll see one another, and we'll see how God has dealt with us. And it will be enlightening, to say the least, to see what God has done. I look back at my life. I was just telling my senior class, I look back and the things that happened in my life and how God, from a very early age, when I was just very young, that began to develop certain characteristics in my life. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but there were certain characteristics. And I look back and see how God has directed me in my life to the point of my salvation, to the point of going to the seminary, to the point of coming to LBC, to coming out here, and how he's kept us here in spite of all the difficulties and all the things that happened in my life. And I look at it nothing more than God's grace. I don't know what else to contribute it to. It certainly had nothing to do with me. I mean, and I'll just give you a quick overview. I became interested in sports when I was very young. I played sports. I was fairly good at it. I got scholarships for it. I went to college. I played sports in college. And it's in college that I got hurt, and through that injury that I turned to the Lord, because everything was sports in my life. I mean, that's what I lived for. That's all I wanted. I didn't care. I didn't study. I didn't do anything when in college except go out and drink and play sports. And all of a sudden, all that was taken away. And it turned me to the Lord. I didn't know where else to be. And then how I got the seminary is an amazing feat. How I got the LBC is amazing. How I got out here is even more amazing to me. And why you kept me is even more amazing to me. But it all goes back to grace. And someday the fullness of what God has done in my life will be revealed, and I'll see not only the things that I could see now, but things that I didn't even know that He was doing in my life. See, He chose me even from my mother's womb. I was His. And He just brought me along, and how He worked in my life. You know, and the passage in Philippians 2:13, that He's working in us the will and the do of His good pleasure. And I don't see that all the time, do you? And yet He's working and constantly dealing with this, and how He's working all the things around us. And when we get to heaven, we begin to see these things, and God reveals them to us, and how amazing it will be. I will want to share it with someone, and you will want to share it with someone, and there will be people that want to hear it. So it's gonna be an amazing time. So we will know family and friends, we'll know everyone in heaven, certainly. The question at that time was, will we recognize them? And I think we will recognize them. There are some people who believe that, that you won't know your family or friends when you get to heaven. Well, you will. There would be no reason that wouldn't be. And we asked the question, will babies that die go to heaven? I know that was hard, and it was hard for me. It was hard for you to listen to. I thought it needed to be answered or should be dealt with. What we wear in heaven, we dealt with that last week. That was a simple thing. When this week we're going to look at, will we eat and drink in heaven? That's the question. Will we eat and drink in heaven? In this life, we eat and drink in order to sustain life. We want to keep our bodies healthy, so we have to eat and we have to drink. Some of us eat more than we should. It shows many times, but we eat basically in order to sustain life and to keep ourselves healthy. Since we do not need food or drink to sustain life in heaven, it's not necessary. It will not be necessary to eat or drink. There will be no hunger or thirst in heaven. You will never get thirsty. You will never get hungry in heaven. Will you turn with me to Revelation chapter 7? Just look at a couple of verses with me. Revelation chapter 7. John's looking at this multitude of people and asks, who are they? And I said to him, sir, you know, the response came back to John, and he said unto me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor the heat. Things are going to be different when we get to heaven. We will not get hungry. We will not thirst. However, the lack of hunger and the lack of thirst does not mean that we will not eat in heaven. We will eat and we will drink. Not to sustain life, because we have eternal life, and it's the quality of life, the quantity of life, as well as the quality of life that God gives me. We will eat and drink because we want to. And I hope this is true. I hope we can eat as much as we want. And I won't have to worry about putting on a couple of pounds now and then. I suspect that will not be a problem in heaven. And so when I sit down to eat, I'll eat until I'm full, and then I may eat some more. Who knows? But we will eat and drink in heaven. We know that Jesus, we're going to be like Him in His resurrected body. When Jesus was resurrected, He ate and drank with His disciples. We know that the angels, spiritual beings, ate with Abraham and Sarah. You know, Adam and Eve, before sin came into their lives, they ate and drank in the garden. There was no problem of eating and drinking. Resurrected saints in the millennial kingdom will eat and drink. Any problem with them? Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 22. I have that written down here, don't I? Yeah, Luke 22, 29 and 30. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We're going to eat and drink, and we will be able to do that. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 says, then he said unto me, write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I have been called. We'll be there. We'll be there. We're the bride. And you think if the feast is going to be there that we're not going to eat and drink? We will eat and drink, and there will be plenty for us to eat and drink at that particular time. That won't be a problem. The question is, you know, I'm picky with what I eat. There's some things that I don't like. You like that? I'm one of those unusual characters. I like liver and onions. You know what I mean? Now, most people don't like that. But there's some things that I don't like, and I just won't eat them. You see, in this life, we have taste buds. And they're all different. Those taste buds were affected by the fall, so that some foods you just don't like. You're not forced to eat them necessarily. You may acquire a taste for them, but in heaven, our taste buds will be restored, as our whole body will be restored at that time. So that all food that is presented, whatever it may be, I'm not saying we're going to get liver and onions, and you may not like liver and onions, but if they serve liver and onions, it won't be a problem. You'll be able to eat liver and onions, if that be the case. Whatever you eat will taste good. Isn't that wonderful? Where's Sarge? Sarge's going to be there. He's all smiles when we talk about food and drink. I can't imagine not eating, not having the taste of food as it enters my mouth. Sarge can't do that. He's eat through a tube. But when he gets to heaven, his body will be restored. And he'll be able to eat and drink, and you'll be able to eat and drink all you want, Sarge. Hey! Won't that be wonderful? I don't know if this is true, but I figure if you want steak, you'll get steak. If you want lobster, you'll get lobster. If you want shrimp, you'll get shrimp. If you want a leg of lamb, you'll get a leg of lamb. I don't know if that'll be a problem at all in heaven. You may want some good Pennsylvania Dutch cooking, and I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I suspect that all our taste buds will be satisfied when we get there. I know one thing we're going to eat a lot of when we get to heaven. That's fruit. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, whoever has ears, let him hear that the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The tree of life, traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Fruit off of that tree, we'll be able to partake, and we'll be able to eat it anytime we want to eat it. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3 with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 3, just two verses we want to look at back there. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. The tree of life was to be enjoyed by Adam and Eve. In their dependence upon God. As they depended upon God and they could eat of that tree of life and it sustained them. It gave them life. Now that they've sinned, they're forbidden to eat that because it would give them eternal life. They would live forever. That has been taken away. When Adam became independent from God, the privilege to eat from the tree of life was taken away from him. You and I will have that privilege restored. You and I will be able to eat from the tree of life. We'll go to be able to pick the fruit of that tree anytime we want and eat from it. The tree of life is intended not only to provide what Adam needed to sustain his life, but it also meant to bring great joy and happiness to him. That was taken away. And he was no longer able to eat it. You and I will be able to eat of that tree of life. Any questions? I'm going to move on. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Just want you to know that we're in for a great treat when we get there. Will we have physical bodies in heaven? And you say, well, we're going to have a spiritual body. I want to talk a little bit about that. Food, whatever food we eat, will have some substance to it. If you take the fruit, you'll be able to pick it. You'll be able to feel it. And it has substance to it. It will be real food. Drink will be real drink. And so we want to know, will we need a physical body and able to eat food that you could touch? We've noted that when we get to heaven, we'll have a body like Christ's resurrected body. It'll be a glorified body. It will have a capacity to eat and drink things that are of substance to it. You'll be able to pick something off and you'll be able to feel it. And yet the bodies will not be subject to time and space. So how do we put this all together? I'm not sure that I have the answer to it, but I want to talk just a little bit about it. Now, the Bible tells us a little about what our bodies will be like in heaven, except that they will be like Jesus Christ's body. Jesus Christ's body had substance. They were able to feel it. They were able to touch it. They could feel it. They could put his finger through the nail holes in his hand. So there was substance there. It was some kind of body. It was something, I don't know if we call it physical or not, but it was some type of body, and not in this physical sense as you and I have physical bodies today, but we will have some type of body which we'll be able to grasp a hold of something, hold on something, we'll be able to feel things. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 first. It says the dead will rise incorruptible. The dead will rise incorruptible. We are alive at the time of the rapture. We are alive at the time of the rapture. We will be changed. Those who are dead in Christ will be raised from the grave. In verse 42 it says, our body is sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. There will be a body that's raised in corruption. When Christ was resurrected, Thomas touched the body of Christ. It implies to me that there was some type of, I don't know if the right word is physical, but some type of, that you could feel, could really touch it. It had substance to it. And when we get to heaven, we'll have some kind of substance to our bodies. It's not just going to be we're going to float around up there. We'll have some type of substance to our bodies. It'll be like Jesus Christ. I've quoted in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 a number of times. We'll be like him. We can't get away from that. Will you turn to Job with me? Job chapter 19. I want you to see this. Job chapter 19 and verse 26. Some type of substance we will have. Physical, I don't know if we want to call it physical or not. Not in the sense as we know it today. But Job writes these words. And after my skin is destroyed, that is, he's died, he's been buried, his skin goes away. This I know that in, notice these two words, my flesh, I will see God. In my flesh, I will see God. I looked that word up. It means flesh. In my flesh, I will see God. So there's some type of flesh that comes upon the resurrected saints. And in this flesh refers to the resurrected body, of course. And it will consist of some kind of flesh, a glorified flesh, but nonetheless flesh. Now, will you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me? 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes these words in verse 50 and 51. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What we have right now, the flesh and blood that we have right now, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. There's going to be a change in these bodies of ours. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3, 21. Paul writes these words, who, that is Christ, will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed into his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. We are going to have a glorified body, a glorified body that has some substance to it. Whatever form that takes, we know that it will be perfect, it will be sinless, it will be flawless. These glorified bodies will be imperishable, they'll be honorable, they'll be powerful. They'll no longer be a natural body, they will be a spiritual body. Some type of substance will be attached to that. When we think of spirit, we think of something that that's nebulous, something that you can't put your hand on. We talk about the Spirit of God, and we talk about the breath of God, pneuma. But there's substance, some type of substance. Our earthly bodies are suited for life on earth. Our spiritual body, our resurrected body, will be suited for life in heaven. They'll have some substance. We'll have a body that we'll be able to feel. You'll be able to touch Jesus Christ, you'll be able to feel his body. If you can touch him and feel him, that means that you have some substance also. We'll have a body that we'll be able to feel. Yet it will not be hindered by space or time or obstructions. We'll be able to walk through a wall just like Jesus was able to. We'll have a body just like Jesus. I do not understand that. The Bible simply tells us that we will be like him. Will not be driven by the necessities for nourishment or fleshly desires. They will not be a part of it. And so just as our earthly bodies were like the first man, Adam, our new bodies will be like the second man, Christ. We will be like him. Let me read you two more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 and 49. The first man is the earth, earthy. The second man, the Lord, is from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So we will be like Christ. There will be substance to us. Our new resurrected bodies will not suffer in any way. There will be no sickness and death in heaven. We'll not be subject to heat and cold. That won't be a problem. We'll not have hunger and thirst. We'll be like Christ. We'll have resurrected bodies, clothed with something. It's just not going to float around out there. It's going to be clothed with white raiment, as we've seen. Our earthly bodies are weak. Our heavenly bodies will be strong. Our earthly bodies are polluted. Decaying, that will not happen in heaven. They'll be pure, undefiled by sin. We will no longer be subject to time and space. Gravity won't have an effect upon us. And our glorified bodies will be strengthened by the Spirit. We will no longer be weak. The older I get, the less strength I have. You know what I mean? Some of you experience that. You work a little bit, you get tired. There was a time when I could work for hours and hours and hours and not get tired. I can't do that anymore. As I grow older and as sin has affected the body, and we just keep moving in that direction, downward, downward, downward. I'm looking forward to the time when we get to heaven. There's no more tiredness, no more weakness, no more pain, no more aches, no more disease, no more cancer. No more heart attacks. All right. Any questions? Any questions? How old are you going to be in heaven? What age will you be in heaven? Will everyone be the same age? Will we be the age in heaven? For instance, if you die at 65, will you be 65 when you get to heaven? What age will we be in heaven? The Bible does not specifically answer that question. I'm not sure it has to be answered at all. Yet many attempts have been made to answer that question. So I'll give you my two cents in this. I've got a couple of things to say about it. Am I going to look like I look now when I get to heaven? I remember a few years ago, Ralph circulated a picture in this church, and no one recognized who it was. It was me. And no one in the church knew that. I had changed from the time that picture was taken to the time I was out here. Are you going to be able to recognize me? What if my age changes? Will you know me? Will I know you? I know Ruth. I recognize Ruth now. 90, 1, 2, 3. How old are you, Ruth? 91. Now, I recognize Ruth now. I have no idea what Ruth looked like when she was 25. I'm sure she was beautiful. Will I recognize her if our age changes when we get to heaven? See, when God created Adam and Eve, He created them as mature beings. They had a body. They had a mature body. They were able to walk and talk and communicate with God. I believe they were in the prime of their life. Aging did not affect them. I don't know how long they lived in the garden before they sinned. But age did not affect them. Age did not affect them until sin entered. And when sin entered, the Bible says when God told them they should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He said, when you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And that means, actually that says surely die, it says dying you will die. And we know that Adam died spiritually that moment that he ate of the fruit. And we also know that he began to die physically. He began to age physically at that point. Two deaths, a spiritual death and a physical death. He began in the prime of his life, both he and Eve, and they began to die. They began to age. You know, when Jesus died in the prime of his life too. We have some justification to believe, and I say this lightly, I'm not sure I believe it, but that when we die, whatever age we are, we'll probably revert back to some age. Maybe the same, if we're going to be like Jesus, Jesus was about 33, maybe we'll all be 33 years old. I don't know. We'll be like him. We do know that. It does indicate that We won't be children. We won't be elderly in heaven where we're walking around with canes and, you know, crutches and on a wheelchair. We'll be in the prime of our life. We'll be like him. If Jesus died at 33, it's reasonable to believe maybe that we'll be 33 also. I'm not sure about that. One thing I am sure of, whatever age we will be, it will be the perfect age. We'll be in the prime of our life. I am told, and I don't know if this is true, maybe some of you can tell me this, but our DNA is programmed in such a way that at a particular point in life, we reach the optimal development. In other words, we grow to one point, and when we reach that point, from that point on, which is in our late 20s, early 30s, When we reach that point, after that point, we begin to go downhill. The rate of the breakdown exceeds the rate of buildup, which eventually, of course, leads to physical death. A very long life tends to make one age look like another age. Did you ever go into a retirement home? And you look around you see all these people. And do you ever try to guess their age? They all look the same to me. They all look like they're old. I mean, you know, they all look like they're 75 or 80 years old. My wife says, that's how old I am. What are you doing? It is scary when I go into it. Sometimes someone says, well, they're 65 years old and they're in a wheelchair. And I think, oh, my goodness. I'm older than they are. If the DNA is true, and I don't know it's true, if the blueprint for our glorified bodies is in our DNA, then it would stand to reason that our bodies in heaven will be at the optimal stage of development. Whatever that stage will be, I don't know. I don't know if our DNA has anything to do with it. Maybe some of you know more than I do. I just read that and I thought it was just interesting. What I do know is that we will have lost all traces of the fallen humanity. And the signs of aging will be gone, and we will age no more. The body that has been tarnished by humanity's fall into a life of constant sin, terminated by death or at the rapture, will utterly be transformed. I don't know what age that will be. You will be the perfect you, and I will be the perfect me. Can't imagine that? Maybe you can. I cannot. We know that God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no tears. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There will be no more pain. All the former things will have been passed away. Revelation 21:4. It's all going to be gone. The one thing I need to say is, if we're living in heaven for eternity, and we will be, if we're living in heaven for eternity, what difference does our age make? If I'm 65 and I want to live forever, does that make any difference? If I'm 33, does it make any difference? I'm going to live forever. In heaven, no one will grow older. You'll be the age you'll be, and you'll be that forever. So what age will we be when we get to heaven? I don't know for sure. Probably in the prime of our life. We will, if you could go back now and look at yourself. We were looking at some pictures a couple of weeks ago, and I saw a picture. I said, who is that? And my wife said, don't you recognize who that is? And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you who it was. I said, they've changed. They've changed. Whatever, look, by the way, they look much better when they're younger than they do much older, but we'll be in the prime of our life when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to no more pain, no more aging. Any questions, any comments you want to make? I'm going to ask you. We already covered it. I went the wrong direction. I'm sorry. Yes, John, did you have a question? Okay. You probably have hair in heaven. Right. I don't know if we're going to be 33. I have no idea. All I know is we're going to be like him. And he's perfect. Therefore, we will be perfect. But most people believe they'll probably be about the age of Christ, in the prime of our life. And whether that's 33 or younger or older, I do not know. I'm still in the prime of my life, so I don't know. All right, I have a crazy question. Will we have emotions in heaven? I have a reason for asking that, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but it's an odd question to ask. We know that there's not going to be any sadness, any tears. We also know that there's going to be great joy in heaven. And so there will be emotions. We are made up of a personality. We have intellect, emotion, and will. And that is our personality. And we know that we'll have those things when we get to heaven. Christ has personality. We'll be like Him. However, it will not be as it is now. Our personality will change. Our emotions will not drive us or control us any longer. We will not be controlled by fear or anger or impatience as I am. There'll be no more envy. There'll be no more jealousy. There'll be no more divisions. There'll be no cliques in heaven. Love and joy and happiness will overflow. So we know there's going to be emotions in heaven. Luke 15:10 says this, "Likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents." Can you imagine if one sinner repents and the angels are rejoicing? Can you imagine what happens when the church is raptured out and we all enter in heaven at the same time? You think there's going to be a great joy? Absolutely, there will be joy in heaven. John 3:29 says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friends of the bridegroom who stand and hear him rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." There will be joy in heaven. John 16:20 says, "More assuredly I say unto you that you will weep and lament." You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Verse 22 says, "Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you." Jude tells us this, "Now to him that is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." We're going to have great joy in heaven. There will be some things that will be changed. But joy and happiness will be ours when we get to heaven. We'll be emotional characters. Now there's a reason I ask this question. Not just that we understand that we'll be joy, but will we feel sad for those who are not there? Will we have any regrets? Will you regret not witnessing to someone down here that never turned to Jesus Christ? How will we respond? Will we feel sad for those whom we loved here on this earth and are not in our presence in heaven with Christ? Well, I went back to the Sermon on the Mount, and if you want to turn back there with me, Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now we know that. "But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils," or demons, "and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them." Now notice these next four words. "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The point, I think, here is that those who are not saved and are not in heaven with us, you will not know them. There'll be something that'll take the place. Even though they were loved here dearly and you love them with all your heart, when you get to heaven, you won't remember them. Jesus did not recognize unbelievers. He never knew them. I believe that we will no longer remember those who are unsaved and are not in heaven with us. We will forget people. Well, I do now. I forget people's faces. I forget their names now. But our minds will be sharp in heaven. They won't be cluttered with everything else. We'll recognize people. As we said, we'll recognize all the saints. It is not that we just forget names. It's just that our past relationships will not be a part of our new life. I never knew them. Therefore, we will not feel any remorse for them. But what if I didn't witness to them? Won't I feel some regret? There'll be no regrets in heaven. There'll be no regrets in heaven. We will realize something when we get to heaven, and that is that God had a perfect plan for our lives. Whatever happened, He planned it. He's working in us the will and the do of His good pleasure. We know that. God's plan is perfect for our lives in every respect. We will have no worry or remorse for the past. Our mental and emotional makeup will be appropriate with the new realities that we have in heaven. It's going to change, folks. It's going to be different. And what we see in heaven and what we sense in heaven, when we look around this world, this past world, we will forget all about it. All the relationships that we had. We were at the Christian school on Friday. We went over there. They had a competition over there for bands for Christian schools. And one of our grandsons was playing in one of the bands, and so we wanted to go over and see him. And we got over there, and we got there early, and we looked for him. And finally we saw him. And I spoke to him, and he went like this. He ignored me. Just went right on, like I didn't even exist. Who's he? It's just that they're not important at that point. There's too many other things going on, you know what I mean? And when we get to heaven, the people that are not there will not be, we will have no regrets. Sadness for lost ones will not be there. By the way, if you're sad for a lost one, it would be an admission that God's plan is not perfect. That something was wrong with God's plan. They're not here. It seems to me that when we get to heaven, we will realize the perfection of God's plan, not only for all mankind, but for you and I and for those who are past that didn't make it. God makes no mistakes. Whatever He does right. He is righteous. He is perfect. Psalm 145, 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works." I have said for years that people that don't make it to heaven don't want to go to heaven. They would be so out of place in heaven. They would be so uncomfortable. They don't want to be in hell, but they certainly don't want to be in heaven. There will be no regrets. There are people that I haven't witnessed to. There are people that I should have witnessed to in my thinking. But God's plan is perfect. He's working in us the will and to do of His good pleasure. And what He's accomplishing is exactly what He wants to accomplish in our lives. And when we get to heaven, we will see His plan was perfect for each one of us. There'll be no regrets. There'll be no sadness. There'll be no sorrow. There'll only be joy and happiness. Elation of the fact that we're here in the very presence of God. His plan was perfect for my life and for your life. He made me exactly what He wanted me to make me. The object of His grace. And I will reflect His grace for all eternity. No mistakes in heaven. I have 1 minute. Any questions? Anything we covered? I have several more yet we have to cover. Next thing we're going to cover is, will we know everything when we get to heaven? Will we know everything when we get to heaven? Yes, Liz.
What do you mean recognizably male and female?
I'm going to answer. I have that question. I have that question. I will answer that question. We're going to talk about sex in heaven. Yes, Dan. I don't know. I think the angels are, we're told that the angels are sort of looking out over the edge of the theater to see what's happening down here on earth. I think when we get to heaven, our attention will be drawn not to things that have happened in the past, but things that are happening for us right now. When Paul was caught up in the third heaven, he saw things that just amazed him. He couldn't even, unspeakable. And I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be so glorious, so great, that past will be of no concern for us. Sometimes I get in a place where I begin to worry about something. And then something happens in my life, and my attention is drawn away from it. And I don't even think it's bad. I forgot all about that. And what I worried about was not any worry anyhow. So I think when we get to heaven, our attention will be on Him, seeing Him and being with Him and seeing all the other saints that are there and enjoying our time there, that we won't have time. No, I want to see what so-and-so is doing down here. It's not of concern. We'll know that God is working His perfect plan. And we can rest in that, but I don't think that we're going to be looking down here and saying, well, gee, what happens to that person? What happens to this person? Why are they doing that? Why aren't they walking the right way? Why didn't they listen to me? I don't think we'll have time for that, to be honest with you. Any other questions? Let's close with a word of prayer then. Father, we pause for a moment to thank You again for the promises that You've given us. When we look at heaven and we see the reality of heaven, we cannot comprehend it. We look at the things that we're going to be doing and the things that will happen to us there, and our minds are, we can't comprehend it. It's beyond our ability to comprehend it. Our minds are too corrupted with sin. But Father, we thank You for the bright lights that You've given us, the glimpses that You've given us of what it's going to be like. And Father, we hope that as we look at these things, that hope, that blessed hope that we have, the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, will become a reality in our lives. We just can't wait to go up, to be with Him, whether by death or by rapture. So we thank You for the opportunity we have to look at these things, and we pray as we continue them in the weeks to come that our focus will be on Him, on things above, not on things of this earth. And we'll thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.